You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it to you.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way because you are listening to the movie show.
What is up?
Hello, listener.
This is the movie show.
On your favorite ORSPS.
Active FM.
And this is the way we start every show, right?
Not really. We've started cooler
differently,
ways before.
Differently.
My favorite one, I still think, is the Ghostbusters one.
Yeah, that one was
good. That was one epic intro.
Awesome.
But anyway, moving right along. We should have started with the...
I was thinking of that, but I didn't know if I was going to get the pitch right, you see?
You must zoom in on our eyes and just make the screen red. And we'll stare at the camera.
All right, just look at the camera to get that look. Okay, it'll be done. Go look on the movie show. We did it.
There we go. On the YouTube.
Podcast, on YouTube.
Active
go check
TV.
Out.
There we go. And if you're wondering where that comes from, it comes from Kill Bill, Volume 1 and 2. No, was it in? It was in Volume 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we are doing Volume 2 today. Last week we did Volume 1. We are doing a Quentin Tarantino movie marathon. And this is Kill Bill Volume 2.
And if you have no clue who Quentin Tarantino... Like last week we did a... Wikipedia. It was last week, right?
It was last week,
we
yes.
gave a Wikipedia info. But don't go there yet. It's fine. You can go there next week. Next after the show. Today we are doing Volume 2. We had to do Volume 2 because if
obviously.
You did Volume 1 and we are on a Tarantino quest.
Marathon.
Yes.
Quest. We are looking for Quentin Tarantino.
Quest.
If you have any details on where he is, on his whereabouts, please let us know at 084-333-3312.
Don't give him my number. You can't give him my number. All right, so.
Kill Bill.
So this film was that very quite differently.
It was done differently.
And quite a redirect, eh?
Apparently, Quentin wanted, I don't know if he got it right, but the first Kill Bill Volume 1 was a very like kung fu, like martial art, not martial, more kung
fu.
Yeah, but it played very heavily on the whole kung fu film genre. In fact, it even had a whole anime sequence. Yes, an anime sequence in the film. And then this one, he said that he wanted it to be more of a Western, which I totally get. Like, honestly, he really, 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 really did do that.
Even where shot everything. The locations, all of that stuff.
I personally loved the whole Kill Bill thing.
And Bill as well. Didn't Bill have a
cowboy hat?
Yes.
And his brother Bud lived in a caravan.
Buddy, which got pythoned. Anyway, you want to watch the film for that one.
You know that Bud was the same guy from Reservoir Dogs, right?
That's right.
And apparently even, you know, in Reservoir Dogs, yes, that character was messed up. He wanted to burn the policeman alive, so he took a gas can and was like... spraying, well, what's it called? Throwing all the gas on him.
Soaking.
That gas canister apparently was in Kill Bill Volume 2, where Uma Thurman is hiding under his caravan.
No.
You see the gas canister.
I missed it. Why did I miss that?
I also missed it. I just read
it
afterwards.
I suppose it was just a gas canister. Okay, makes a lot of sense.
But that is the same gas can from Reservoir Dogs. That, I must be honest, is one thing I appreciate... what's the word? Appreciate of Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's not there to waste money. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, there's some directors that, like, they want big and they want a blockbuster.
Just
and they'll
use the same car.
But that's what Quentin does, is he'll literally have the same car. Mm. He doesn't even change the color of the car. It's literally the same car in, like,
bring
his different films. Yeah,
just bring it in.
And then, like, he'll reuse props. He'll reuse things from, like, previous films. And his aim is actually to try and keep the budget often... down compared to, like, if you look at other films on the same scale as his films, generally the budget, like, surpasses it by a lot. Whereas for him, he's able to use what he has and yet do amazing things with it, which I appreciate, because, like, sometimes you feel like you need to have millions of dollars, but you don't, type of thing. You can get it done.
Quentin.
Use the same car.
Go, Quentin.
Why would you buy another car?
Why? Just use someone's car. Because, like, what about his car? Oh, no, my car. Yeah, come
there we go. We want your car. Thanks.
If we smash it, we'll pay for it.
Talking about smashing a car. So, Uma Thurman, right? There was a scene where she was driving a car.
Yep.
There was lots of scenes, actually. Yep. Ah! I loved the start. I loved this movie from start to finish. I loved the whole Kill Bill. For me, Kill Bill, it's funny. I was talking to Tim, who was on the movie show back then, and he didn't like Kill Bill. He, like, was just like ultra... Yeah.
Yeah, wait, hang on. I need to give him a call. What is his number again?
0843 What was the number I said previously? Okay, so in 2018, right? No, the film didn't come out in 2018. It came out in 2004. But in 2018, Uma Thurman posted footage online of a car accident that occurred in 2002 while filming this movie. At the time, Thurman had voiced her reservations about filming a scene while driving a car over a straight dirt road and had requested for a stunt performer. However, since the scene was not considered to be a stunt and the stunt coordinator was not on set that day, Quentin Tarantino persuaded her to shoot the scene herself. While driving, there was an unexpected turn in the road, causing Thurman to lose control of the car and crash it into a tree, leaving her with a concussion and damaged knees. She tried to obtain the footage as proof, but Harvey Weinstein, if you look at most of Quentin Tarantino's films, he produced a lot of his films, but
yeah,
he's also the one that's been the sexual misconduct allegations.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's him. So he reportedly refused to release it unless she signed a document that would release the company from any liability. Years later, Tarantino finally gave her the footage and helped her come forward in the wake of multiple sexual assault charges against Weinstein, with Thurman also claiming to be one of his victims. Thurman and Tarantino admitted that the incidents had caused a breach in trust, which affected their working relationship for several years, but they reconciled afterwards and remain on good terms ever since.
Sure. That's hectic.
I know, right?
Wow. So it was Harvey who held it back.
Yeah.
Because of the...
He didn't... Obviously, she could have pressed charges against the... In fact, she should have pressed charges against... I mean, she obtained a concussion and injury to her knees. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, isn't there surely somewhere in the paperwork? Because I don't know if you know this... Even if you are filming on your own premises, right? You are filming on your own premises. You still have to get a...
Filming permit.
A filming permit.
Mm.
For your premises. Yeah, I don't get it either. But so like if they go into that much detail when it comes to like film contracts, like I really feel like her film contract was breached there.
That sounds... I've got a lot... Like there's so many questions I've got there.
And she was only able to obtain the footage in 2018. Filming happened in 2002.
I mean, she must have been mad, number one. So how do we continue filming with an actor that is mad and probably got some issues? You know,
Plus the producer sexually assaulted you.
You see? Maybe that's what made Kill Bill Kill Bill. That's what made her...
Oh, she was thinking of Harvey Weinstein.
She's just like really like...
Tweet,
you see?
Tweet.
You see?
Yeah, no shame. Yeah, it's hectic. Yeah, so that's in the car accidents.
That's
I feel like
shocking.
There's always a weird car fact whenever we do a Quentin Tarantino film. Like either his car was stolen and then found years later, or like it's been crashed, or yeah. Now, the score, right? So the film score. Honestly, Kill Bill Volume 1 and Volume 2, the film score was so good. Like, the music was brilliant. Mm. Do you know, though, that Robert Rodriguez, who did the film score, he scored the movie for only $1.
Hmm?
He was paid $1. He agreed to score the film for $1.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying is Quentin Tarantino is brilliant at working the budget. I mean... Who pays someone $1 to do a film score for a blockbuster movie? Do you understand what I'm saying?
He promised him the next.
So what? Yeah. So in the next film, Quentin Tarantino repaid him by directing a segment of Rodriguez's Project Sin City, which was released in 2005 for $1. So I like Quentin though because he'll like be based on relationship. It's like, hey, will you do me this favor? I'll pay you $1 for it. It's become, I mean, technically, wow, he didn't have to pay him anything, but the fact that he actually got paid $1 for it just says, like, here's your $1, man. Thanks for your hard work. And then, like, in the next door, in the next 3 years, he then goes and. I feel like I wouldn't spend that $1. I'd keep it as a memento.
Hang it up on a
wall. Yeah, on the wall. Ta-da!
But I got paid for Kill Bill 2.
For Kill Bill Volume 2. But I'm sure also they would have... Maybe not. Maybe though they would have been like... Because you know what? Like once a movie makes...
there's payoff, yeah.
Yes. So no, once you have a certain percentage that you will receive, depending on how much the money makes. I think that's also why, like, for example... not all cases, but why like actors and actresses will go to such like degrees to promote a film, because obviously the more promotion, the wider the reach, and then obviously the more payout.
Well, you said that in return, Quentin Tarantino directed one of his so that project would have made Rodriguez
money.
An amount of money.
Yeah.
So in total, it's kind of, you know, you didn't have to now pay off a director.
Mm.
The same with Quentin didn't have to now pay off someone to do a film
school.
Yeah, kind of, you know, I make you money, you make me money.
Yeah. Can I say one of my favorite moments in the film was when, you know, the chick with the eye patch?
Yeah.
And Uma Thurman are fighting.
I heard some cool trivia about that, yes.
Okay, but I don't know if I have your trivia. But I loved, loved how she defeated her. With taking her eye out and the pose. I was just like, and she didn't even kill her.
Yeah.
So I was like, what are you going to do after that?
There's a thing going that if you look at her training that she had with that that Chinese master.
Pai Mei.
That's the one. I think that's he trained her in using her hands as a weapon. So if you actually look throughout the whole of Kill Bill, like she killed... her with using
her
hands, and she killed Bill with her hands as well, using that 5-point palm exploding hot.
That thing was so cool.
Tick. It was like,
and then he was like, he taught you the 5-point. Of course he did. That was one of the best death scenes, though, I must say. Like,
just like that.
He was like, you know what? Because you were able to do that, I accept a death.
My only thing was that, yes, and if you also look when she was in the coffin, she used her hand as well.
Yes.
So she used her hand, so she had the sword and then. But if you actually look at, yes, as I've completely lost my point. Anyway, yeah, her hand is a weapon. So yeah, she ends up killing Bill with her hand. I had a thought.
You were on a trivia note with the fight scene between the two. Okay, okay, there we go.
I still thought to myself, how did she leave? Is it Ella? The chick with the eye patch?
Yeah, I don't know the character's name. The actor's name's Daryl Hannah.
She left because she left her behind. So I was like, that's not a good idea. Because what if she comes back with two eye patches to wipe you out?
No, but also like...
And isn't there talk about Kill Bill Volume 3? Yeah, that's what I heard. There was some notices. I don't think so.
Yeah,
but
I don't think so either.
I'm just saying.
Because Kill Bill wasn't supposed to be...
Maybe it'll be...
two films.
Maybe it'll be Kill Ella.
No, wow. It was supposed to be one film. In fact, it was planned originally when Quentin Tarantino planned it. He planned for it to be 1 4-hour long film because that's what it is. It's 2 2-hour films. So together it's 4 hours. Obviously, I don't think people and movies and long movies are just like, so, I suppose,
Well, you get us and then you get everyone else.
Yeah, basically.
Those people out there that complain whine about long movies. Psh. I mean, come on, man, what's your problem?
So they then obviously released it in 2 parts. So technically, Kill Bill Volume 2 is Quentin Tarantino's first and only sequel because he's never made a sequel to any of his films. But at the same time, it's technically not a sequel because it was written as one story. That's why it's Volume 1 and Volume 2. But if you think about it, it is a sequel. Yeah. But Uma Thurman and Daryl Hannah, so Daryl Hannah was the chick with the eye patch, apparently did not get along with each other and reportedly instructed Hotel hotel and cinema staff to ensure that they were kept separate from each other during the press tour for Volume 1. Mm-hmm. And then they were again at odds at the film screening at the Cannes Film Festival and ordered separate areas to be created at the after show party so they wouldn't clash. Then when the two women won Best Fight at the 2005 MTV Movie Awards, only Daryl attended. Uma's absence was conspicuous, and considering already that she had gone the previous year to collect the award for her fight in Volume 1. So
I thought they would get together. Love you, man. I know. I'm sorry. This is such a great reward. We, you know, just for the... Wow.
So, like, I suppose that fight scene, there wasn't much acting done. Take her out.
Yeah, because... give that to his name again.
Daryl. Daryl. It's a weird name for a girl.
Daryl. Daryl, your name's now Daryl. So, that part where she pokes her eye out and she leaves her freaking out in the bathroom.
Yes.
She wasn't supposed to freak out. She was supposed to sort of like fall over and struggle a bit and sort of be dead. But apparently she overacted to make... It was actually... You know when a scene gets to a point and then you just carry on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
To specifically get Quentin to laugh. That was the... And he was apparently hosing himself, and they kept it in the film. They were freaking out and breaking down the bathroom. That wasn't part of the...
Well, I suppose it makes more sense, because why would you die... Okay, obviously loss of blood could be a possible cause, but like that wouldn't be a quick death. Do you understand what I'm saying? But like, you're not gonna die from having your eye gouged out. So I suppose that was good in a way because it made it more realistic than her just flopping over dead. You're like, wait, why did she die?
Well, maybe she sort of leaves her like behind. So she like falls down. No, no, no. And then she like walks out and...
But for me, it was so fitting, though, because I liked Pai Mei. And the fact that she killed Pai Mei, and wasn't he the one that first gouged out her one eye? He was the reason her first eye was gone. So then Uma Thurman, who was kind of like his best student, and the only student that he taught the five palm, what?
Point? I wrote it down. 5 point palm exploding hot tick.
There we go. The fact that she gouged out her other eye for me was like
payback for her master.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, no, it was really intense though. And then, you know, it was the end of the film. So you know when Uma Thurman's the bride goes to, she's now searching for Bill. So everyone else is dead. And then she goes to that Spanish guy who owns a brothel, who's also a gangster, who kind of taught Bill everything that he knew. She goes there. Apparently that brothel segment was the last scene of the movie to be shot. And it was filmed at a Mexican brothel. And all of the female extras were sex workers that worked there.
Great.
So that is...
Were their names in the credits?
I didn't watch the... You know there was an ending... There was an end credit scene.
Is it legal?
I don't know.
Is that even legal?
Because our brothels... Sex workers. That's why I'm like, our brothels a legal thing.
All right. Excuse me.
But that guy was so weird though, because like, he was... I don't know how to explain it. I felt like he was in slow motion. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like when he blinked, he like...
He was nervous.
He looked high. He looked like he was a gangster that had been high and drunk too many times, and so his body was just like...
Maybe that's what they had to do to get him on the movie. Maybe it was a real...
Maybe that was him not acting. Maybe that was... I was just like, this guy's weird. He's like blinking in slow motion. He literally was blinking in slow motion, though. He really was. It was weird. And then, when he called the girl over... To offer Uma a drink, but then showed that he'd cut her lip because she had done something, and obviously he was threatening her to say like, "Be careful what you're trying to do here, because like I will kill you," type of thing. That was intense.
All right, people, here we go. Prostitution is illegal in the vast majority of the United States. As a result, state laws rather than federals. It is, however, legal in some rural countries within the states of Nevada. Prostitution nevertheless occurs elsewhere in the country.
I feel like Mexico, it could then be legal. Okay. And maybe that's why they went to Mexico.
Mexico.
Because like I'm sure you could get arrested.
Prostitution in Mexico is legal under federal law.
There we go.
Each one of the 31 states enacts its own prostitution law and policies. So in other words, in the one state, you may slap them. In the other one, you may not slap them. In the other one, you may pay them a wage over a certain amount. Different laws, you know.
This is a very weird conversation that we've gotten ourselves into.
You heard it the first time on the movie show, folks.
There we go.
Didn't know that, did you? Now you know.
Okay. Another thing, so I was watching behind the scenes footage and Quentin Tarantino looks like he had so much fun on the sets of Kill Bill. Like literally every time they finished a take, he was just laughing. Mm. Like literally that was Quentin Tarantino. Mm. So I really think he like really enjoys the whole filming process. Yeah. But also apparently, you know, Bud's Hat, so Bill's brother Bud, yeah, he works by that that pub, that nightclub, whatever, the club. And then he goes there and then the club owner says to him, I hate that hat, take it off. You know that whole scene. Mm. So apparently the Quentin Tarantino writer and director didn't like the hat that Michael Madsen, who plays Bud, would wear when on set. And so he tried to talk Michael out of wearing it, but that didn't help anything. Michael refused, which I'm just like,
what?
Why are you refusing? The director doesn't want it. Why are you out here saying no? Like, it's his film. What's wrong with you?
Can we just think
so of- then wait for it. Quentin is a brilliant person. So Quentin then got back with a little change in the script the next day, and Michael Madsen had to follow it. And that's what you see in the film. So the owner of the nightclub says to him, I hate it when you wear that hat, take it off. And then you see him take his hat off. That was written into the script because Michael Madsen didn't want to not wear his cap. So Quentin was like, okay, I'll just make you do it in the movie then.
Quentin, nice one. Clever one.
Brilliant. And then originally the Kill Bill films were supposed to be one epic four-hour film.
Yep.
So... but unfortunately,
4 hours.
Yeah, the world is not, what's the word, inclined to 4 hour films.
Yeah.
So they decided to.
Would be cool. But I think 1 and 2 is cool.
Yeah, I suppose
I think
that's
so. Pretty awesome.
I feel, okay, obviously in cinemas, you can't do this. Mm. Like, you can't watch it in parts. Mm. But, like, in normal life, like, I know me and you, like, we'll watch a film.
Yeah, watch it.
And then if something happens and we can't continue, we'll just stop
Although 4 hours. 4 hours is quite long. Must be quite
you watched there. The 2 hours though. I watched definitely. I didn't plan to watch Volume 2 in one go. It caught me. I literally was like, just a little bit more. Just a little more. And then I watched the whole thing and I was like, fully satisfied.
Yeah.
But then also, what I loved about the film was Quentin always does your chapters. Most films don't do this. He literally will show you each chapter. So he'll call like the one chapter, the massacre at... what was it? Wherever she got married.
That or place.
Yeah, he'll call it like the different chapter names. And each chapter pays homage to a different film genre, which you get in the movie.
Oh, that's cool.
It is cool, right?
Put more depth in that.
So like the whole where she goes to Pai Mei for her training, like that's definitely like the whole, you know, like training Karate Kid type
ding,
of.
Ding, ding, ding,
yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
And then the whole Bud sequence was very like Western, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. So like I like how he actually like, he paid homage to different film genres. Yeah. This film is classified as an action martial arts film. So you know the first one was an action crime, which you were upset about the crime. This one they said action.
Not really a crime.
Martial
Although
arts.
Killing someone is a crime. But if it's someone...
The best way to describe it in its simplest form is it is a revenge film.
Yeah.
Hence the title.
What I think really worked out with the volume 1 and volume 2. So the first volume, Quentin actually, you know, we've given the fact that, you know, Quentin wants the actor to stick to the script to the point that one of the actors actually said, you know, hey, what if I, you know, just throw in a bit of this and that. And then his response was basically, I did that already in the script, just stick to the script, you know, type of thing. But volume 1 was quite strict on that. So you'll see how, you know, how, like we said, it's more that like martial arts, the crime. Yes, the crime. What? Crime? Crime what? Crime,
action.
Crime action, yes. But in this film, so you said in this one, you saw a lot of the behind the scenes. He was a lot more laughing and enjoying the film. And that's because in this film, he sort of just gave them the first film was like a nudge, you know, to, hey, this is the direction I want you to go in. With volume 2, he said by this time, he had sort of let them sort of carry on in their character, how they had found. So if you look at a lot of the lines, There was one specific video that I found online where as they're going through the sequence of the film, it's showing in the corner what was on script.
Oh, that's so cool.
And you can see how they sort of, how he let them go off a little bit. So, and that's probably why he enjoyed it a lot. And something that was, for me, quite fascinating is how in the first film, the bride is a woman out for avenging.
Revenge, yeah.
Because of her daughter.
Mm.
Then, of course, it ends. Mm-hmm. She's still alive. And we see how in the second Kill Bill, which is what makes it different, is that now she becomes a mother who's now rescuing her daughter.
Mm.
And she's still... I mean, even with the whole thing where Bill still like tries to tell her, you know, like you're like Superman. You know, there's still a killer there inside of you. You know, even if you're the mother, you still... And, I mean, Bill's evil, man. Because he was even trying to get the daughter, Bibi, right?
Yeah.
To like already start steering her into like this whole assassination. Like,
yo, why did she kill again her fish?
The fish, step on the fish. I'm just like, you evil man.
But do you know that her name, Bibi, was a homage to Bill and Beatrix? Because you know, so that's why they named her the child Bibi, because of the two, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
The Uma Thurman did a brilliant job, though, because she actually said... So I watched an interview where she was speaking about the fact that when they were starting the whole production, obviously not filming yet, but when they were starting the production, she had just had a baby, literally 3 months prior. So she said she was still, you know, like quite heavy from that, and she was still even nursing the baby.
Yeah.
So like she'd literally come out of... just having a baby. And if you look at Uma Thurman in this film, she doesn't look anywhere close to having a baby except for when she's pregnant. But even then, she looks like
she had a baby the way like every pregnant woman wants to
have a baby. Yeah. So she said she had to go into serious training, and she actually said it was very, very difficult. And she said there would be times where her body, she would almost get to like the limit, and she'd feel like, I can't go any further than this. And that would only be 5% of what Quentin expected for her to do. So it was like really hectic. The stunt coordinator that worked with her actually was the same stunt coordinator that worked with Keanu Reeves on the three Matrix films. So she got the same stunt coordinator. Yeah. But she said that for 3 months prior to the start of shoots, she trained for 3 months. She trained 5 days a week, Monday to Friday, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Okay.
She trained the whole day for 3 months. So literally that is like Olympic style training. That is Olympic style training.
She could be a martial arts teacher.
She really could.
In fact, most actors.
And she said before that she wasn't much into sports. She liked dancing, but not that she was very good at it. She just liked dancing. But she was always, as a child, she was into theater and drama and acting. And she said she was always, she was that child that was too tall for their age. You know, when you're like just awkwardly tall. She started modeling at the age of 15, but obviously that was because like she was super tall and super skinny.
Yeah.
And, but she'd never ever done like sports or anything like that. So this was really a big push for her. And also she wasn't, not that she was old, but she was in her 30s when she did this. It wasn't like she was 21 or
in her
And she'd had 2 children and so it was like it really was a lot for her as a mother and a woman. And but she did a very good job, because I still remember looking at her body in the film and thinking, she looks, her body, they, you know how you like her body fits her character. You know how sometimes you see these chicks and they're like super skinny, but there's like no muscle on them, but they're like killing all the guys and doing all the things, and you're just like,
I don't think so.
Yeah, she didn't look like that.
I often get that, and like with no, whatever you want to call it, but a lot of chick to guy fights I find in movies are a bit over.
Yeah.
Because it's like, and look, maybe there is, comment below, maybe there is a way that you, in fact, not maybe, there probably are ways that you can use the person's body weight against them, but the way that it's done, you just like, you get this, like, skinny chick, and she gives the guy one kick in the side, and then pushes him through a door, and he goes flying through, like, 3 walls, and it's like this big built oak that can take, and then he's finished, and you're just like, nah, it needs a bit more, you know.
For me, Quentin didn't do that with this one. He really didn't. He often would use, so she either was very skilled with her sword, which then easily would kill people, regardless of their size, or she'd learn techniques, for example, like the five palm thing where you know that will kill someone regardless of your size, just because you know the technique
that
of it.
That is more specific to that technique.
So she knew death techniques in a way. So she knew how the human body worked and how you could use it against itself, for example. But like even when she gets captured by Bud, I mean she struggles. Like she really tries to get out and she can't.
Instead of it, the fact
that she was buried alive, just the fact, you know, in most films she wouldn't have been able to, she would have at the last minute, you know, and then killed them, or someone would have come or something would have happened, but she was buried alive. That's it, and then she got herself out. Just did that scene. And I loved how they went back. Wasn't that the point where they went back to her training with Pai Mei?
Remember, it calmed it because she tried to sort of calm herself down. And then at that point, she went back and then she was super focused.
And then... And then even the thing I loved was it wasn't the first time she punched the... She had to keep on at it. It was very good. I thoroughly enjoyed Kill Bill. Honestly, it's at the top of my Quentin Tarantino list.
Good films.
Good revenge film.
Yes.
If you're angry with someone, go watch Kill Bill. You know, should feel better afterwards.
Well, I don't know.
Because you're not going to do what she did.
You know.
How was that ending scene though, where she was on the bathroom floor crying? Do you know what I'm talking about?
My word.
You're like... It makes sense though. I feel like as human beings, especially as a mother as well, you can't go through all that and then just be fine.
That's what I was saying. The last... The volume two, she's... There's a different...
side of her. A more humane side.
Yeah.
Did you see the end credit scene?
No.
So in the end credit scene,
I can't believe I missed it.
Yeah. So it goes back to the crazy 88 fight. And then she does the eyeball thing where she takes one of the dude's eyes out. And then they say, cut. And she's like, come on, let's do it again. That was fun. Wasn't that fun? And then it ends. So that was the ending scene. Okay.
All right. Awesome.
So that was Kill Bill, Volume 2, 2004.
Yes.
3.
I don't know.
4. One of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And our next movie show, just so you can keep ahead of us, is...
Death Proof.
Yeah.
With Kurt Russell. That's all I know
if
about
If you're a Kurt
film.
Russell fan. Are there any Kurt Russell fans out there?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you even know who Kurt Russell is?
If you don't, when you see his face, there it is. If
and if you still don't know who he is, you're young. You need to go watch older movies.
Both. Because, you know...
I feel like older people know who Kurt Russell is.
They will more.
Because he was like the dude,
action,
you know,
man and stuff.
And the good-looking guy. You know, all the girls are like, oh, have you seen Kurt Russell's latest movie?
I mean, the name, Kurt Russell.
And then they go weak at the knees.
Kurt Russell. It's like Elvis.
Yeah.
But I mean, still. Anyway.
This has been The Movie Show.
On activity.
Peace.
ActiveFM, the Netflix of radio, but better.